Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Ah, good Monday morning. As we react to another performance by the Denver Broncos that leaves us going, huh? Who is this football team? What are they? Who are they? What are we supposed to make of this win? That's what we're trying to hash out with you today. Your reaction, of course, is always welcome on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. It shapes up now and presents us with arguably the biggest game that the Broncos have played since Super Bowl 50. Think about it. Sunday Night Football, national TV, 6-5, a game out of first place. Everything to play for, right, Mark?
Yeah, at what point have we had them in December being relevant with a chance to, you know, with a chance to push toward a wild card? But forget about the wild card, man. You still have a chance to win this division. You still have two games against Kansas City. You sweep Kansas City, Mike, you got another game against the Chargers. You sweep the Chargers and you split with the Raiders, you'll win this division. You're sitting at 6-5 right now. Where are the Kansas City Chiefs?
7-4.
7-4. You sweep them, you sweep the Chargers, and you split with the Raiders. You got a game against Detroit. You win the division.
The last time they played a big game in December, I think you'd have to go to the year after the Super Bowl, okay? Where they started out 4-0, and after beating Jacksonville behind Paxton Lynch, remember that game?
Yeah,
they were 8-4.
They
were 8-4.
Okay,
so the last time they played meaningful football was December of 2016, but that was coming off the Super Bowl, so there was already a sense of disappointment, right, hanging in the air. And you didn't have the same kind of opportunities
in front of you.
At least it just didn't feel that way. So because we've had so much bad football, mediocre football around here, there's at least a glimmer, you know, of hope that, hey, they said all the right things coming out of their bye week. Whole season's in front of us. It's like a second season, a new season. And we were all sitting back yesterday saying, okay, we'll buy in for a day. Go out and prove it. And you know what? They responded with a terrific defensive performance. They win the football game, and now here's their opportunity. Do you have any idea what to expect from them next week?
Because it always seems like anytime there's prosperity, anytime they make it happen, anytime it's fun, anytime it's awesome, anytime they play well, it feels to me then they fall right back into, you know, let's go win it the way we want to win it. Let's go win it by throwing it around the ball yard. Let's go show them that we can, you know, outscore them, whatever. It's like that Philly game. You know, you show up against Dallas and then you take a victory lap and then you lay an egg against Philly.
So, now, the beauty of this one, though, it's one thing to beat Dallas and then get a little fat and happy with Philly coming to town. A little different knowing you got to go to Arrowhead on Sunday night.
Yes.
I would think whatever sense of contentment may come over you would quickly be squashed as you start to turn your focus towards this next game.
I don't know. You know, if you go back far enough, remember Patrick Mahomes was a bust.
Good point.
He was a bust early.
He was a bust.
Defense couldn't play. I mean, you could fool yourself into believing that the Chiefs aren't what they've been the last 3 weeks.
The dynasty that never was.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
So, as always, we just had James Marillette on. And as always, a lot to unpack with a visit from James. And here's what he said that I want to get back into. He said, I either want to be really good or really bad. I don't want to be stuck in the middle. And if all you do is end up going 9-8, then you leave yourself the potential to talk yourself into believing that this team is closer than you think. And that's how you end up bringing back Vic Fangio, the staff, and Teddy Bridgewater. Well, okay. If you subscribe to that idea that you just don't want to be stuck in the middle, then what are all these teams? How should all these teams be waking up this morning and looking at themselves? And their fans should be looking at them. The Chargers are 6-5. The Raiders are 6-5. The Broncos are 6-5. The Colts are 6-6. The Steelers are 5-5-1. The Browns are 6-6. That right there represents seeds 7-12 in the AFC.
So give me those one more time. Browns?
I'll go from 12 on down. Cleveland 6-6. Pittsburgh 5-5-1. Indy 6-6. Denver 6-5. Raiders 6-5. Chargers 6-5. So what are all those teams supposed to think? And are all those teams supposed to say, I'd rather be horrible than stuck in the middle? Well, I don't know. It seems like a good chunk of the AFC is stuck in the middle.
They do. And the thing that just resonated with me there, Mike, is, you know, there's several of those teams that are stuck in the middle that went out and used the James Marillette /DMAC principle. They got their quarterback of the future. Yeah, they went out. The Browns drafted theirs first overall. They're stuck in the middle. Oh, but the Chargers, they see, what if we had that guy? They're stuck in the middle. Indianapolis went out and said, hey, let's get the reclamation project that is Carson Wentz, who was the number two overall. They're stuck in the middle. I mean, the thing about that whole strategy, and I agree that you have to find one. I understand that aspect of it. But there are a lot of teams that are still looking, like sitting there saying, hey, we got our guy, but we're still not very good.
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
That'll never get old.
Uh-uh.
We'll get to a bunch of your reaction. Pour in. What do you make of this one? I think that is the overriding question to everything that took place. What do you do with this win? As a Bronco fan, we'll get your reaction next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's get some reaction on the text line.
Hey, Ryan, I don't know what this is, but I like it.
Ryan from Milligan. Guys, Hash Brown, send this to the internet. You know you have a bad backup quarterback when they have to bring back the injured starter who's limping on one leg.
Yeah, they shouldn't they just move to Ripon?
Yes, because
it's clear they don't like Drew Locke.
They don't. Only do they not like Drew, but do I speak for Bronco fans out there that the whole time he was out there on every snap, like you were holding your breath,
right?
Like it was just
going to cause a syndrome.
And I do think it at some point, if the season got to a point where it was out of reach, then you should play him just to see, but. While you're still theoretically playing games that matter, guy scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, it's going to create a bunch of Bronco fan syndrome stuff. I don't know what that would. Am I saying that right? Syndrome.
Yeah. Syndrome. What kind of syndrome?
You know,
what
like
kind of syndrome we're talking about
like,
here.
You know, you get to the point where you sit around the house too much because you know you're locked in COVID, and then next thing you know, everybody's got like a condition. Like they name a condition for it.
Oh, I see.
Like. sit around your ass off itis. Like
right.
Something like that.
A syndrome. I got you.
Yeah. You can create a syndrome.
Yeah. And what kind of syndrome is this?
This is like everybody's going to be going to the doctor and they're like, oh, you've got hold your breath lochitis.
There we go.
You know,
I like it.
Yeah. And so you're like, because you've held your breath so much on Sundays, you know, your oxygen levels are down.
Right. Or you develop like a stitch or something in your side. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like tennis elbow. You do enough, whatever you do. And next thing you know, your elbow hurts. Then they put a wrist brace on you and you're like, what? No, it comes from your wrist. That's why your elbow hurts. And you're like, how does this work? Next thing you know, you have no idea what you're talking about.
It's science.
What are we talking about?
Talk about.
I have no idea.
I want to dedicate everybody made it.
The zero.
Infiltrated.
Defeated. New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody talk about that music.
Another one.
Yeah.
Did you see how empty the stadium was yesterday? They are wrecking this franchise. I think they had, what, 9,500 no-shows? They did not have a opposing team fan base that was going to come in and gobble up tickets to keep the no-show number down. We were talking about this during the pregame show, D-Mac and I, yesterday, and I get it. I get it. If you're a cynical fan and you were like, you know what? It's a beautiful day. It's Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
I'll just watch this one at home. If you weren't excited about going out to the game because you don't trust this team, I don't blame you. I can see why you are in sit back and wait mode. So that's why I'm asking the question today. What does this win mean? Does this suck you back in? Does this energize you?
What is
highly, highly skeptical?
What's the schedule again? They play Kansas City Sunday.
Yep. And then they're home against Detroit and home against Cincinnati.
Home against Detroit. You want to talk about if they lose to Kansas City on Sunday night and Detroit fans aren't traveling to watch that dreck, are they?
No.
You're a Detroit fan. You wouldn't go to the stadium to watch your hometown boys, would you? Yeah, I didn't think so.
We're going to bite a kneecap off?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to watch kneecap biting. I mean, think about it. If 9,500 against the Chargers, a division rival, I mean, what would be the no-shows of the Lions if you lose a game Sunday night to the Chiefs?
Well, does it depend on how the loss looks?
It's a good question. If it's close, if it's tight,
battle, compete, can't you come out of that and say, hey,
that's a moral victory.
The gap is closing and we still have five games left. And you know what? The idea of playing Kansas City at home after what we just did here looks pretty enticing.
I've lost a game in Kansas City, Mike, where I got on the bus and I got on the plane feeling like, hey man, we're a damn good team. I mean, Kansas City is not, when I was playing, I played in every stadium in football. Kansas City for me was the hardest stadium to go into and get a win. Bar none. Played in Pittsburgh. Played in, you know, the NFC East, the Giants and the, you know, back in the day in the Cowboys and, you know, obviously they're new stadiums now since I retired, but you know what I'm saying? Just from a fan base, a crowd situation, there was no tougher stadium in football to go into and come out with a victory than Kansas City. It's just the fan base. It's the way the stadium is built. It's how on top of you, their fan base is. I mean, it is loud and it is tough.
I got a hard time thinking that what I saw yesterday is enough to convince me, that they're going to go into Kansas City now and win. But it is important how they play and maybe even lose next week. Because if you can go out there and show well, then I think you can come back and say, okay, We're 6-6,
mm-hmm.
but we handled the Chargers, gave a great showing against Kansas City, and now you go Detroit, Cincinnati, at Vegas, at the Chargers. And then knowing you got another crack at Kansas City. Suddenly you can look at those last five games and say, okay, let's make a run at this. But you gotta show that yesterday wasn't a fluke. Because unfortunately, 3-0 felt like a fluke with the benefit of hindsight. Beating Dallas felt like a fluke. So you gotta show, not feel fluky though.
Yesterday was a dominant performance.
Well, beating Dallas was dominant too.
Yeah, that did feel fluky though.
But then after the fact, it became fluky.
Right. Well, beating Dallas, it felt like Dallas didn't show up.
But hey, you go out to Kansas City next week and you play a game and let's say you lose, I don't know, 27-23 or something. Suddenly it doesn't feel so flukish. Go out there and lose 35-10.
Right. Now we're right back into this team is not good. So, doesn't handle prosperity well.
Yesterday was a must win. Next week, I don't think it's a must win.
Oof.
You gotta play well. You gotta lose well.
Yeah. I will agree with that. And there's not many times they'll give you a moral victory. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those times you go into Kansas City and play well, you're a good team.
Four down territory coming up. We'll go around the league and take a look at some of the best action, including, man, you just can't leave the GOAT anytime, can you? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
Well, I guess cornerbacks can make a profound impact on a game.
Weird.
Pat Surtain with two interceptions, one including a pick six, as part of a masterful performance by the Broncos defense. Was this yet another diabolical send it to the dark web? Everybody around the league is going to use it. Game plan by Vic Fangio, or is it just good solid D, nothing fancy?
Yeah, I think it was just good solid D. I think Vic Fangio, that defense, one, I thought they matched up well. I thought they had a great mixture. They got they got pressure on a consistent basis, which was good. Whether they brought five or whether they rushed four. And I just thought it was sticky coverage. Every time I looked up, they were on the receivers, they were on the running backs, they were on the tight ends. They were sticky all day long, and that's, big tackles, big hits. Thought they were incredible that way.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
On its way! Yes! The Raiders come up a winner, upsetting the Dallas Cowboys.
Settle down just a little bit.
On Thanksgiving afternoon, 36-33.
All right, what... Boy, if this isn't proof that this is a hard to track league week to week,
mm-hmm.
The Raiders, a team that had been looking like they were down and out, they had lost three straight games, scoring 16, 14, and 13 points in those three games, go out and beat the Cowboys and put up 36 in the process.
How about it?
I am done trying to figure out this league. Which is what makes this league so fun and fascinating. But my Lord, trying to figure out what's going to happen next, especially with these middle of the pack teams. Your guess is as good as mine.
I tell you, it is. It's the matchup. It's how your players match up, how your scheme matches up, and yeah, try to figure it out. Your guess is as good as my guess. I have no idea.
So the Raiders. Back to paying attention to them again, at least for the time being. They get
Where's our division right now? Is everybody tied except Kansas City, one game ahead of everybody? Is that how it works right now?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. Chiefs are 7-4 and everyone else is 6-5.
My goodness. It's amazing.
Do you know the Broncos have the best point differential in the AFC West? I don't know what that gets you, but they're plus 32, and the Chiefs are plus 31.
Not for you, but
gets you 6-5. Gets you 6-5. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Here's the snap. Brady hands the ball off, running to the left. He's born it inside the 20. Step far to the 20. On his feet to the 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Leonard Fournette. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Radio, as you've traveled around the NFL this
Mike
year,
Evans.
Is this the biggest development in the league this year? The idea of how to handle the final 2-3 minutes of a football game, and that it's not just about scoring, but it's constantly with an eye on leaving as little time as possible. Have you ever seen more emphasis placed on, yeah, we have the ball and we're trying to go down and score, but we're trying to do so in a way that milks as much of the clock? I can't recall such an obvious strategy in these final minutes of games as I've seen this year. And I guess proof, because Indianapolis scored too late or too early, and they left too much time on the clock, and Tampa Bay went down and scored and won.
Right, especially if you're playing Tom Brady. I mean, don't leave him.
It's not just Brady.
It's Aaron Rodgers. It's
even lesser quarterbacks than that.
But I'll tell you, there has never been more focus from a clock management standpoint,
right,
than at the end of halves.
Yep.
Because of how much time you're off the football field as an offense. You know, how you come back. All that stuff. Are you rusty from sitting on the sideline forever, especially when it's cold out? There's a ton of management. The great coaches have it pretty dialed in. So yeah, I'm 100% with you, Mike.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
We got six left for sure. That's a lot of football, and this story isn't written yet. We've got the pen, and we've got to make sure that we do a great job of controlling what we can control.
Anybody out there play blackjack? You know when you're at a table that's just hot?
Yes.
And everybody's winning?
Right.
It's just table win after table win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they change dealers.
Yeah.
And a new dealer comes in. He looks miserable to be there.
Right.
He takes about 10 minutes to get everything set up. Make sure the fan is, his little fan is blowing cool air on him just the right way. And instantly the table just dies. The cooler. Is Von Miller a cooler?
You say he comes in and just kills the table?
Hey, look. You know, much was made about Von to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Since Von landed with the Rams haven't won.
Well, now, is that Von's fault?
Coincidence? Maybe. But adding Von, losing Robert Woods, adding OBJ, lost three in a row.
Right.
Chemistry doesn't seem right there.
Von Miller, 3 tackles, 2 assists, 0 sacks yesterday. Aaron Donald, 3 tackles, 3 assists, 0 sacks. Yeah.
When you've got, in your words, the best football player in the league in Aaron Donald, and you've made all these moves to make this front four as scary and dominating as they have, well, it's Sundays in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, where you expect those guys to deliver. And they did not.
No, they didn't. Aaron Rodgers, tough one. I mean, he's got movement skills. He's got, you know, quick release. He knows where he wants to go with the football. He picks you apart. So,
with a fractured toe, by the way, as he showed us all last week.
Glad it wasn't a groin injury.
Huh. Nice.
Right?
I like that one. That's good.
I stole that from somebody else.
Oh, did you? Man. Well, at least you owned it.
Yeah.
You could have, because normally you just own it for yourself. And everyone's like, Mark Schlereth. What a funny guy.
Quick wit. I hadn't followed the rules, so I hadn't given credit yet. That's, you know. So, who was it? I know.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, a tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We're asking the question, what do you make of this win? What does this win do for you? Does it suck you back in? Are you still highly skeptical? We'll pose that question to our Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 Broncos insider. He's presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. And Troy, good morning. I'll start with you. Here's a question of the day we've been asking. What does this win mean to you? Go ahead.
Well, it makes them relevant for at least a couple more weeks. Even if they lose to Kansas City, they're 3-19 in December in Kansas City. So the challenge is real. But even if you lose that game, you're 6-6. You still have home games remaining. You have one coming up with the Lions after that. And you'd still, in some ways, control your own destiny. Cincinnati's in front of you in the standings. If they're not a division winner, you could knock them out. You still play the Raiders, a team that would have a tiebreaker over you. You could knock them out. They've kept a lot of options available to them that had they lost would not have been, because then they would have had to win in Kansas City, which, again, given their history historically in the month of December at Arrowhead, that wouldn't have been a good place for them to be. So what it means is they've kept a lot of options open for probably three more weeks minimum.
How important is the way this game looks, whether you win it or whether you lose it? How important is it to lose it well, if you will? You know, I mean, to lose it and almost take a moral victory, because that's one of the toughest places in the league, maybe the toughest place in the league to play.
Well, I mean, we've seen the blueprint, Mark. If they're going to be in the game or even win the game, it's the same one they used against Dallas. You play keep away, you run the football, you get ahead early. You disguise coverages. You make, you know, Patrick Mahomes take chances that this year have frankly resulted in interceptions. He's got 25 touchdowns and 11 picks. And in some of his best years, he had 50 touchdowns and 12 picks. He's one away from tying his career high. So he's more susceptible. The interesting thing to me, Mark, is can the Broncos penetrate the Kansas City defense? All of a sudden, over the last month, Kansas City's had the best defense along with the Patriots. So, but it is important to be in that game and give yourself a chance to win late. And it's not a moral victory as much as it would cement the idea that, yeah, we did beat the Chargers. We're right there with the Chiefs. You come back home and you smoke the Lions. Like, then you start feeling like this is a team with some roots to it, instead of a team that prior to Sunday was wildly inconsistent and couldn't be trusted. Now they've beaten two good teams in Dallas and the Chargers. So there's a little more meat on the bone now.
Guess we learned why this coaching staff is so determined to play Teddy Bridgewater, even if he's far less than 100%?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've always liked Drew Locke, the person, but I've said this over and over. All you needed to know about their view of Drew Locke was when they did not start him at Cleveland. And it was reaffirmed yesterday. And Drew did that to himself. That interception, among several he's thrown as a Bronco, might have been his worst, because that almost lost that game. If Bridgewater doesn't return and execute that one drive, who knows? Maybe they lose. And it just made no sense. And it's not that Drew threw an interception. That happens. It's having no situational awareness. You're nearly at midfield with 1:22 left in the half. Your defense has been absolutely dominating. Why would you give the opposing team life? So, yes, that conversation I would hope would be completely muted at this point. That I'm not saying Teddy's great, but when they run the football and they run 30 times a game, they've shown they can win with Teddy Bridgewater. And Drew did himself no favors with that turnover yesterday. It was just unspeakably bad.
Here's my big question is, you know, you deal with adversity, you lose to Philly team, you come back out off a bye and you know, you wash the taste out of your mouth, you dominate a football game, but can you deal with prosperity? Like, that's been the biggest issue with this team, and do you think they're ready to take that next step in being able to deal with prosperity? I mean, you won in Dallas, and Vic Fangio went on a victory tour talking about how great he was as a coach. I mean, It felt like he was deaf tone there, or tone deaf, not deaf tone, but you know what I'm saying, Troy. So can they deal with prosperity? Do you have faith in them?
Well, they've certainly understood what it, the opposite is, that when you get full of yourself over one win in the NFL in a matchup league, that you're about to be humbled. And they were. I mean, the Philly game was just so humbling in every way. But there is a maturity to this group that's developing. There is a resilience that's developing. They do understand that they face planted against the Eagles. So self-awareness is step one, like recognizing why it happened, in part because you kind of took it for granted that things were suddenly going to get easy. Nothing's easy for this team, ever. And if they can embrace that, knowing that they have to play with a sense of urgency, they have to play with fire, energy. And Justin Simmons talked about all this yesterday, Mark, after the game. The importance of making it matter, of backing it up, of 1-0, seeing things in very, very narrow terms. If they just go back and listen to his answer at the press conference, that's what should guide them. They've accomplished nothing. This Chargers game is now over. And if they want to get to the finish line, they have to see these games in a vacuum. And I do believe they know that. Can they pull it off? Kansas City's probably not the place to do it, but I do think they've learned their lesson. I just don't know if we'll see it in their performance this Sunday night.
Last one, Troy. I know I should be way past the point of being irritated by the Rockies, but they managed to do it again. And John Gray signing with the Texas Rangers, and because they did not even offer him a qualifying offer, they get nothing. Nothing for him. What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just comically bad. You should have traded him. In a market where there was the most trades in the history of Major League Baseball, the Rockies made no moves other than acquiring a high school kid here that they'd already drafted before and another player. I mean, and trading Michael Givens. Like, there was no impact at the trade deadline. If you were really doing your homework, you would have recognized that, yeah, Gray's saying he wants to be there. Everyone says that before they hit free agency and test the market. So either trade him, which was probably more viable, or give him the qualifying offer. And I know that number was uncomfortable for them, whatever it was, $18 million, I believe it would have been. But you are banking on he's going to get a multi-year offer, so he's going to turn it down. And that's just showing no awareness of the market. He ends up with $56 million, and you didn't offer $18, and because of that, you get no compensation. They just totally whiffed on it. There's no other way around it.
Mm. All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great show.
All right, there he goes. Troy Rank. He's presented by ROX, Rocks Heenan Air. And you were clearly thinking about the Deftones, the
yes.
heavy metal band that won a Grammy Award for their track Elite. And their first three albums all went certified platinum.
Yes.
So you were thinking of the Deftones when you were talking about Tone Deaf.
Yeah, Tone Deaf, Deftones, Elite. That would make their next album Elitier. Elitist. Yeah, so, I mean, you go through all those things.
Yeah. So, clearly you had that on your mind.
Yeah, Tone Deaf, Deftone.
Yeah, same thing.
It's all the same, right?
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some reaction on the Ramoslaw.com text line.
Mm-hmm.
Are Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson unemployed?
Are they unemployed? They shouldn't, like, I have said this forever, and, you know, you may not like what I say, but I never thought they should be starters. Like, they're good thumpers, but they're one-dimensional players. And I'll give a lot of credit, you know, making that trade for Kenny Young. Obviously, it looks like it was a great deal. And Browning, if Browning can stay healthy, man, that dude can fly around and make some plays. So that was great. Hey, by the way, did you see one? Greg Gumbel has no chance of saying Albert Okwuegbunam.
No.
He butchered that one again. And as broadcasters, as guys who do this for a living, there's always that one.
Although I don't think it's Okwuegbunam anymore.
Oh,
I think it got changed.
No way.
No, I don't think it's Okwuegbunam.
What is it now?
I'm gonna need
Okwu.
I gotta work on it.
Webunam. He said it. He did the. There are some teams that do pronunciation guides.
Yeah.
They hand them out to you.
Yeah.
That where the player, no. Where the players actually voice it. They'll send you an email to their website. Like if you go to the Patriots website, each Halbert.
Okuwebunam.
Okuwebunam.
Yeah, Okuwebunam.
That's him saying it, but yet I've been hearing it.
Halbert. Okuwebunam.
Yeah.
Okuwebunam.
Okuwebunam, which is what we've been saying, but I've heard a different pronunciation throughout the year.
You're not satisfied with it?
Oh, I'm satisfied. Hey, I finally got it. I'm not going to change.
No, I'm not changing. If he changes his name, that's on him.
That's on him, right?
That's on him. But, you know, the reason I said it wasn't to talk about the way it's pronounced. I was just thinking about it was nice to see a tight end break a tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, dude. How big are you? How fast do you run?
I know. I know. You just have to understand. That's just the way it is.
I'm going to just start calling him Velcro.
By the way, still think receivers aren't playing a dependent position? The much ballyhooed signings of Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick and
Who led the day receiving? Was it Williams? Javonte Williams?
Javonte Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These receivers that you're paying out and drafting high for. Tim Patrick, 2 catches for 26 yards. Jerry Jeudy, 2 catches for 25 yards. Cortland Sutton, 2 catches for 17 yards.
Nice.
Nice.
You know what that is? That's just flat getting it done.
That is what we call production.
You get 2 catches. Better take advantage of your opportunities.
Hey, did you guys know that Austin Eckler went to school in Colorado?
Yes.
It's like, hey, do you know that Philip Lindsay went to high school in Denver?
Really?
Yeah. No kidding.
It's a big storyline. It's like, hey, did you guys know that Cameron Brate, the tight end for Tampa, was a Harvard man? Oh, yeah. I had heard.
I don't know who did the sidelines for them yesterday, but poor woman was talking about Cortland Sutton and giving us Tim Patrick's backstory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oops.
How about Cortland Sutton? Undrafted. Undrafted free agent.
Uh-oh.
Worked his way out. I'm like, oh, no.
Wrong. Oh, yeah. One time you just reminded me of a story. So I've got time to tell a little story.
Sure. I love story time with Stink. Everyone gather around now.
So
get your hot chocolate.
We're sitting on the set.
Crisscross applesauce.
We're sitting on the set. And Wingo is hosting, and we throw it to one of our, you know, intrepid field reporters, right? So she's doing a report on I don't know if it was the Patriots or whoever it was, and she's talking about the quarterback's production. Said he didn't miss a completion in the 77 drills.
Oh no.
The 77 drills. I was like, ow. Somebody should tell her those are 7-on-7 drills, not 77 drills.
Yikes.
Yeah, so. But, you know, I mean, you don't know, right? We've all said some things that are, I say stupid stuff every day, every broadcast.
Oh, of course.
It's what I do.
Another text. Guys, I know it's not Friday, but is it just me? But I guess Drew Lock didn't do a good enough job practicing his incompletions.
Ooh.
Good point.
That is a good point.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
You what? Yes. You know what? We gave Pat Shurmur a lot of grief, but
that's a situation where you should be practicing throwing an incompletion.
Exactly.
Instead of a completion.
Rolling to your right.
The other team.
You're at midfield. You're up 14-0. Know the situation.
Right.
Throw the ball away. Throw an incompletion. On purpose.
Throw the proverbial incompletion.
You know what? Maybe we were too hard on Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, he had it figured out. Yeah, he throws the pick and then boom, The Chargers drive down and score with 35 seconds left in the half, and you got a new ball game.
Yeah. The one thing
you can't do.
Just one thing. But you know what? I assume what's running around in his mind is he probably understood that there was a good chance Teddy would or could come back. And so he was like, I gotta make a play.
Sometimes you gotta make a play is throw it into the dirt.
I know.
It's the best play.
Like, I know. I'm not defending him. Right. I'm just trying to explain where his thought process was.
But remember Teddy in the game that I called in here in, what was it, in October? Where he rolls out.
Oh yeah, right.
Washington.
Right.
And I just think, hey man, you're gonna roll out. You roll out and you hold it and you hold it and you hold it, and then you take the proverbial sack and you hope that you've eaten enough time. In the game I called yesterday between Philadelphia and the Giants, they did exactly that. They rolled the Giants rolled Daniel Jones out and just sat, and then he just took the sack and ate up another 3 or 4 seconds, and he had no intention of throwing that football. Sometimes you just have a brain fart, Mike.
Benefit of getting rid of Jason Garrett. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.